Curse.
Welcome to Pop Curse, where musicians come to talk about movies. I'm your host, Ryan J. Downey, and my guests this episode are Alazul Ilu, the Midwest horrorcore act comprised of Billy O'Bay, Joey Black, and Lee Carver. The Alazul Ilu boys wanted to talk about the Halloween franchise, and I am always down. This episode is an excerpt from Screen Crusades, the movies, TV, and music show that I host on the Knotfest Twitch channel. Be sure to check out the other shows in the Pop Curse Podcast Network, including Speak and Destroy, the first podcast featuring interviews about Metallica, and No Prize from God, conversations with creative people about belief, unbelief, and everything between. So here it is, my conversation with Alazul Ilu. This is Pop Curse. This is the first time I have more than one guest at a time.
Oh yeah, man. It's
we are one.
We're honored.
Indeed.
We're a hydra. This
we're
is one torso
right now. We're conjoined trio rep.
What is going down, fellas?
What's up?
Not our cholesterol.
Whoa.
The Alazul Ilu.
Zooligans, if you can hear us, listen closely.
Horns up in the
it
chat.
It is us, the Alazul Ilu.
We are going to be talking about the Halloween franchise by request. One of my favorites, one of your favorites. There's so much to get into with that. But before we jump into it, I've got to give a shout out to the state of Ohio. I live in Southern California. I have for the last 20 years, but I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, born and raised. I was there until my early 20s. And, you know, all of my closest friends in California, almost to a fault, are Midwest transplants. My buddy Andy, who I talk to, you know, every day, is from Ohio, from Cincinnati. Whenever I meet somebody out here who's from Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, there's just like an automatic fellowship. Like we understand each other in a way that people who grew up in California do not.
Absolutely. You have to be a kindred spirit with other people that grew up in the scorch industrial dystopia that is Ohio.
Or the cornfields.
Indeed.
Or corn dogs.
Indeed. We love our corn dogs.
We do.
We do.
We love our state fairs. We love our rundown amusement parks. We love our DIY haunted houses. Yeah. You know.
Yes.
All of that.
We live in one of those.
We are currently residing in a DIY haunted house, getting a DUI. Or in a UTI, if you will.
We're all currently banned from the Kings Island.
We're getting all the acronyms that Twitch will legally allow us to have.
I just was gonna say you're also reading my dark thoughts with your dark magic, because I was just gonna bring up Kings Island.
That's what I do.
The last Screen Crusades, or maybe two episodes before, I have three different Kings Island shirts that I just got recently that are throwbacks of like the Screaming Demon. The Beast, the Bat.
The Beast is my all-time favorite ride and R.L. Stein book.
Nice. And the Beast was, at one time, and maybe still, the tallest wooden roller coaster?
No. Nope, not anymore.
Not anymore.
It's also been slowed down a lot. They added brake checks to the bottom of the hills. Kind of fucked the ride up, but it's still worth riding. I endorse it, the Beast, forever.
I never got to ride the Bat because it was already kind of closed down, Urban Myth style. When I was little.
But, we can wax poetic forever about Kings Island urban legends.
Yeah, Kings Island is very sacred to my friend Lee.
We were doing that yesterday.
Yeah.
But my favorite ride of all time, no bullshit, Phantom Theater.
Fuck yeah. It's not my favorite ride, but I loved it. Rest in peace.
Yeah. I haven't even thought about that.
It's one of the best dark rides ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of those urban legends, one of them I believe is actually true, because I was looked into this at one point.
The suicide. Yes,
it
happened.
All kind of based in some sort of morbid truth, actually.
Well, and wasn't there one where somebody fell into like a pond or a little
and they were electrocuted.
Something that was electric? Yeah. And then somebody
three people, one survived.
Yeah, and it was, and two of them died because they were trying to save the other one, right, or something like that.
One dude grabbed a metal or a rubber trash can lid, and he was able to save the one survivor. But yeah, there's actually another death the same day at the fucking park. Excuse my language.
You can curse on here. You just can't take off your clothes.
Those are the only Twitch moves.
Fuck yes.
Fuck yeah. I felt like we were in some sort of like superintendent's office about to be in deep shit or something.
All right, one more thing about King's Island and I'm done. There's a
Keep going. Well, this is what we do. This is what we do. We just conversate.
And a lady got drunk and fell out of a ride and died the same day the other deaths happened. And a young man committed suicide, allegedly a suicide, but he did die at the tower.
The Eiffel Tower, right? And it was something with the elevator shaft or right?
Yep. And like one time I consumed too much blue ice cream and shit myself in the parking lot.
But the poop was purple.
Nice. I was like 10 years old though.
That's a good poop. Urban myth. We should need to add that to the Wikipedia for King's Island.
I mean, they still need to fact check everything, but I'm pretty sure I still have the pants.
Zulagandan says, we just had a ride in Iowa, raft flipped and killed one, injured three more. Yeah, that's kind of snarly.
I saw that on the news, actually. That's horrific.
I mean, when you think about, of course, the massive number of people who have been to King's Island and places like it and not been hurt.
The kill death ratio is kind of shitty.
I mean, King's Island's KD is still pretty low.
Yeah.
You probably have a better chance of walking down the street and dying.
Exactly.
True.
I would much rather die on a Paramount themed roller coaster than getting hit by a car.
That's the way to go.
All the Paramount shit's gone now.
I know, but still.
Yes.
In my heart, Top Gun's still real to me.
Oh, is the Paramount stuff gone now?
Yeah, Top Gun was reverted back to the bat, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, no way. Well, that's kind of dope, actually. I remember when Paramount bought it, and it was like, oh, now there's Klingons walking around.
Yeah, shit was awesome.
They didn't capitalize enough on that shit, in my opinion.
Nah.
Yeah, whereas Disneyland is all about some Star Wars and, you know, everything else, Marvel. There's like Avengers Land and stuff now. Paramount really could have done that with a bunch of those franchises.
They always had the motion seat rides, and I was like, oh, man, they're going to put something dope Star Trek in here.
Days of Thunder.
It's Days of Thunder forever. Yeah.
That shit was funny because my mom didn't get strapped in all the way, and she got fucked up. And we all laughed at her as she died.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Yeah. It's okay. She birthed me before she died. We're good.
That's what she was born for. Yeah,
that was the important part, right?
Yes.
So again, before we jump into the Halloween franchise, like we do, you have a lot of fans in the chat, a lot of support, which
Hooligans, baby!
Very good to see. For those who are watching who are not yet familiar, who are becoming familiar at this very moment, on this very day, tell me a little bit about how the three of you know each other and how you eventually came together with the common goal of doing this awesome group.
First and foremost,
a homeless man jacked off into a tube sock, and we were born.
That is not true, actually.
Like some Ninja Turtle shit, almost.
Yes.
That still needs fact checked as well.
A different kind of ooze, one might say.
Yeah. Yep. A very secretive ooze.
Secret of the boy ooze.
But for the uninitiated who might be watching this now cursed broadcast, I am Lee Carver. This is Billy Obey. Wow. And this right here is Joey Black, and we're the blasphemous hip-hop trinity known as the Allah Zul Elu.
Allah Zul Elu.
We love you.
And we love it when you say our name.
It's correctly. Is it have like a Beetlejuice Candyman
kind of vibe? It does, actually.
There is a finite number of times mortal populace can say our name until the end times are in fact conjured.
Every time you say our name in full correctly is another knock on the old god's back door.
Ooh, the old gods. I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed Valhalla since Christmas time. It's all about some old gods. Just fought some kind of druid something.
There are mentions of us in Norse mythology.
There are.
Yes.
Google it.
The Forever Faces existed since pre-man times.
I love it. I love it.
But here we are discussing Halloween with you.
Indeed. Which the past is the present is the future, all happening at the exact same time.
And we are very historied, learned scholars of all things horror. But Halloween, that's one of our expertises.
Very special to us.
Let's get into it. Let's start at the very, very beginning with a glorious, 2-week period in Los Angeles area, Burbank, Pasadena area. A man named John Carpenter doing every single job imaginable. Let's talk about that very, very first template. I mean, there were other movies arguably that you could say were slasher movies, but real ones, no. The original John Carpenter Halloween is the first true slasher movie, the way we think of slasher movies.
Yes.
Discuss.
I think Black Christmas is always one of those films that's thrown up when anybody talks about Halloween and if it has the rights to the slasher kind of title mm-hmm. when it comes to the domestic United States releases, at least. I don't know what anything was going on overseas at the time. But there really is no comparison. Halloween started a legacy. Black Christmas kind of spawned a shitty remake, in my opinion.
Even if it was the first movie to, you know, have slasher type kills, it perfected it and it made it. You know what Indeed. I mean?
Yes.
It put the teens in the seats.
Indeed.
There was one where the dude was like a voyeuristic movie. He's black and white. He had the camera and he would stab people at the bottom and record their deaths. I would say that's probably the first.
Yeah, and I think it's even mentioned that they the scenes where Michael's looking through the eye holes in the beginning, is it like a reference to that?
Yeah, yeah. So, the name eludes me right now.
Yeah, I can't remember it either, but I know exactly what my friend's talking about.
Yeah, so there, I mean, you know, and again, there's like precursors and little ingredients and whatnot, but that was definitely the movie that kicked off that slasher phrase and launched a bunch of imitators, some great, some good, some terrible. Could each of you tell me a little bit about your first experience with the Halloween franchise, which movie you saw first and, you know, was theaters, TV, VHS, whatever, you know, if each of you could just tell me a little bit about how you found it.
Go ahead.
Take it off. I got a cool one, actually. back when I was a little chair-faced mortal child, my mother at the time, I heard about Halloween, but obviously growing up pre-internet age, you know, in the early 90s, I had never really seen like a theatrical cut of the film. Well, I heard about it through a homie that there was a release through Blockbuster video stores. And it was a retail version of Halloween. It has like a big gaudy Blockbuster logo on the front VHS cover. My mom, being the heroine that she was at the time, drove me around to like legit, no bullshit, like 10 area fucking Blockbusters. I got it and I watched it. It was that VHS, that and Evil Dead 2 that I watched like continuously till it legitimately broke the VHS. So that's my story.
Really. Amazing. Amazing. Actually broke the VHS. That's wearing it out. Wearing it out.
What about you, schmucks?
You first.
I honestly couldn't even tell you the first time I saw it. I just know I love it. I don't fucking know.
It's just one of those films that you don't even have to watch anymore. It's just like forever embedded in your cerebral. Like you can just replay it in your mind.
I do remember the first time I saw it. I saw it a lot later. Slashers were never really my thing growing up as a horror fan. I always liked ghost stuff and paranormal shit. The Exorcist is, in my opinion, the greatest horror movie of all time, and it's my favorite movie. But Halloween is one of the few slashers I really did get really into, and I love it to this day. The first time, like I said, it was a little bit later for me. I was at I think it was an Onkyo or a Sam Goody. I can't remember the name of the place. They were going out of business and they had all their shit on sale. And they had this, I've always been a sucker for packaging to things. They had this super dope orange and black fucking VHS box set of like the first three Halloween movies.
King of the Keychain.
Yep, it did. Yeah. I copped that, took it home, and I masturbated to the sex scenes and the death scenes.
Yeah, and man. The death scenes. Shout out to PJ Souls. If you're watching this, hit us up.
Yep.
Yeah, shout out to PJ Souls for sure. Shout out Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm with you. I prefer the paranormal type supernatural horror. I like slasher movies. My favorite horror movie of all time is the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I got my moshing video game Freddy here. Really, I think the Elm Street franchise combines what I love about supernatural, otherworldly horror and slashers.
I agree.
You know, it's like Freddy's like a supernatural slasher. And you could argue, obviously, you know, some of the cult stuff that they did at one point continuity wise of Michael Myers. And of course, you know, I mean, there's supernatural elements to other slashers, yeah. but they're still, you know, Jason, Michael, they're kind of just straightforward slashers, regardless of slashers, however they contrive to keep bringing them back. You know,
they weren't that scary for me when I was younger, because I could run back then. I would just outrun them, you know?
Yeah.
But now that I'm fat and crippled, I can't run. Slasher and zombie movies actually do scare me a bit more.
Well, there was always that relief as a little fat kid. I was like, Michael doesn't kill kids, so you're good if you run into him. You know what I'm saying? But the new Michael, we love the fact that the new Michael just unabashedly smashes kids' fucking heads in. We love that about him.
We do appreciate that about the film.
Yeah,
I like that the new Jason Voorhees had some underground tunnels he was running through.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah,
it's like, that's how he got everywhere. Because it never really made sense.
I didn't hate that movie.
Well, no, there is a little bit of spiritual, supernatural elements to Jason, though.
Yeah, I got struck by lightning.
That's what I'm saying. The way they would contrive bringing the slashers back over and over.
Yeah,
there would always be a little supernatural in there. But
Born Cult Forever.
Indeed. Which is which we will also talk about. but I wanna move forward into Halloween 2 here real quick. I just did a thing with some friends of mine and I on Thursday. It was our first like post-pandemic outing of just fun, not work, just going and doing, it was a little work actually, but just going and doing fun things. We went to the Slashback video installation at the Mystic Museum. We went to the original, you know, Nancy Thompson's house from the first Elm Street, which had Johnny Depp, Glenn's house across the street in real life. You know, just kind of did our little tour of some of the sites that I like to see here in California. And of course, when you go and walk around, I mean, the hedges are still there. Like when you go walk around where they shot the original Halloween, you can see all that stuff. And one of the houses, it's not Michael's house. I forget whose house it is actually, but one of the houses, the people who own it now are very aware of the Halloween fandom, and they've got pumpkins and stuff sitting on the porch, and they have a note that's like, hello, film fans, please be respectful to the neighbors, but take your pictures, hang out, you know. And that's just cool. And I want to give a shout out to the current owners of the Elm Street house, because the people that owned it since the movie was filmed up until more recently painted the front door blue, and whoever owns it now painted it red again. So it looks like the
Elm Street. As it should be. Isn't there some sort of conspiracy that that house was also used in the filming of Halloween?
Yeah. And it's actually not a conspiracy. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where I was going and then I forgot. I just found this out. Yeah, it is.
Segway King.
There is stuff there. Yeah. But thank you for that. I'm the tangent king. There is stuff in there from Halloween, but it was footage that was only shot for the TV broadcast.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Because you know there was that whole thing where for whatever reason they added all this extra stuff just for TV, and some of that's in there. But yeah, I want to get into Halloween 2.
Now that we're watched that last night.
Well, now that we're warming up for the third Halloween 2.
Can't wait! It looks so good.
It's kind of crazy.
It's crazy when you think about it that way, though, right? This is the third Halloween 2.
Only one way to go but up.
But my only problem, and we'll get there, right, with the new continuity and all that. I love the second Halloween also. Obviously not as much as the first.
Us
but
too.
I like it, and it added a lot to the mythology. Obviously the family connection, you know, between Laurie Strode and Michael Myers, which the new iteration has done away with. I was curious for your thoughts on kind of the pros and cons of making them brother and sister and getting rid of that more recently.
I absolutely hate that shit.
Really?
I hate
their brother and sister.
No. I hate the fact that in the new films, they ditch that idea, because from a narrative standpoint, if you think about it, you don't even think about it. By the time you've reached the end of the movie, your brain still thinks of them as brother and sister.
Yes. Like, that's a good point.
You can't even get over that fact, even when they tell you blatantly in the movie. So it didn't serve any kind of narrative purpose. And I think it muddles the Laurie Michael aspect in a way, because why does he give a shit so much about her if they're not related?
She's the one that got away.
There's so many people that have gotten away figuratively from Michael, if you think about it.
I don't recall any.
Oh, there's tons, man. Like, oh, you're just lucky enough, you just missed him or whatever, that kind of shit.
He doesn't even know about them people. She's the victim that he was actively trying to kill that got away. So that's like, I think that's the whole
motif. There's tons of people Michael could have killed that he didn't kill, though. He didn't kill Sheriff Brackett, didn't kill Loomis, didn't kill Lori at all ever.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, but that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you because the main problem I have with it is that it, as you said, it undoes the reason for that, like that real purposeful determination that he has to get near her and to kill everybody around her all the time. And you know, Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, she had said at one point that she wouldn't ever come back unless they gave her the opportunity to definitively kill Michael. So then we got Halloween H2O.
Yeah.
And she chops his head off. And it was like, all right, there we go. And then Halloween Resurrection. Oh, that wasn't actually him. And here's Jamie Lee Curtis again, but just in the opening, and now she's dead.
Those are terrible movies.
Yeah, they've I mean, when they did like the virtual reality show Busta Rhymes movie.
Oh,
I think that was Resurrection. Yeah, there were some dark moments for the franchise.
You
have to have
like selective memory when you are a fan of the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, like Halloween Resurrection is just some shitty fan fiction.
I like this shit with where he was eating rats in like the basement of a hospital or something. That was like, there was like one cool scene in the
whole sometimes movie those bad movies have a couple of cool ideas or cool scenes.
Yeah, there's a couple
good
cool
look
scenes.
Or...
I like the scene where he's all burnt up.
So he's got his ass beat by Busta Rhymes and LL Cool J now, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So
I heard
he's probably not a fan of hip hop.
I heard in Halloween Kills
he probably likes cannabis.
Pulls up and it's the remaining members of the Wu-Tang Clan and they all kill Michael. That's just a spoiler, I think, for the new movie. Sorry.
I hope. I would love to see that. It's I liken it to some of these franchises and our love and fandom for them. It's kind of like loving different groups, different bands, where you might love an artist, but you don't necessarily love the whole catalog. You know, you're like, these records are classics.
Sure. Exactly.
This one's got some good songs and some duds. This one, I don't know what they were doing.
I think you can say that about every horror movie franchise, period, really.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
There's some turds in there. But
sequels ruin movies or franchises. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are very few part twos that are better than part one, and even those we still argue about. You know,
just Evil Dead and Terminator come to mind.
Terminator 2, for sure.
Terminator, Evil Dead, Aliens.
Aliens, yeah.
Ninja Turtles, maybe.
But the secret. Like the shout out, Vanilla Ice.
Shout out.
But yeah, there are, even in those situations, I mean, you know, I've talked to Terminator fans who don't like T2 because Arnold's good and doesn't kill anyone. You know, or people that don't like Aliens because it's more of a sci-fi action movie and not a straight horror movie like the first one. You'll always find some nitpicking. Everyone. I think the best sequels are sequels like Dream Warriors, where it takes the existing template and expands the mythology. You know,
a sequel should always be more of what made the first movie good. They never seem to understand that. It's always a cash grab. If there's a sequel, you can almost guarantee there's a cash grab involved.
Yeah. I would say The Conjuring 2 was as good as The Conjuring.
I disagree. I did like The Conjuring 2.
I liked the second one more.
Oh, hell no. Conjuring 1 just had that magic. It had that Exorcist, Amityville horror feel. Part 2 I liked, but it's a little convoluted to me. I don't know.
I like the imagery in the second one more.
Yeah, I like the imagery in the second one more, too. And the third one...
Crooked Man?
Yeah, the Crooked Man's dope. The third one felt like an episode of The X-Files. You know, like that was a little more, it was like a police procedural, which was cool, but it was very different than the other ones. So
one of my favorite things about Halloween 2, though, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go right back to Halloween 2, please.
Is the continuity between it being the same night. To me, that was like a magical aspect when I was a kid watching it originally.
What was the kid's name that Lori was pining after?
Ben Tramer.
Yeah, and that was fucking Ben Tramer, that motherfucker.
Yeah, he ends up getting fucking killed.
Yeah, that was him, like, yeah. I love that. I love that little tidbit of sweetness in the Halloween sequel.
And I love those kind of sequels too that pick up like immediately after the movie before. That is
to me that was the first instance of something being like that.
Yeah,
Stakeland 2 is a very good sequel that should be discussed more. I was very impressed with the Stakeland series.
never even seen the first one.
I don't think I'm familiar with
either. They're on Shudder right now, both of them. It's like a vampire Zombieland without the comedy.
Oh wow.
More horror. Yeah.
I'm down for that. I like vampires. Zombies, you know, zombies is dependent sometimes. I like the good zombie stuff. So moving forward through, you know, without dwelling on the all of the sequels before we get into the Rob Zombie movies, what did you think about, you know, you mentioned the cult aspect earlier, one of you guys did. What did you think about that addition to the mythology, which of course has now been done away with?
I fucking love it.
It's my absolute favorite part of Halloween. Halloween 6 is my favorite entry into the series. Oh, wow.
Okay, let's talk Halloween 6 then. Yeah, all right.
All right. We can fast forward all the way up to Halloween 6. Halloween 6, to me, is the most slept on, hated on horror movie, maybe in all of the history of the genre. Everybody talks about that movie. Like, people despise it. The actors that are in it fucking hate it. Paul Rudd.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? But there's like a lot of the writer that wrote it. It's a very talented writer, Dan Ferentz. He's an insanely talented dude. I thought the art direction, the way Michael looked, the mask, everything is impeccable. Dr. Wynn's the shit. When I was a kid, I remember waiting for Halloween 5. Or at the end of Halloween 5, I'm just like, man, I can't wait for Halloween 6 to see why these dudes broke Michael out of fucking jail. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when I finally saw that, and just the way, to me, just the way Michael looks is just the best look besides the originals.
I agree
with that. The mask in 4 and 5, I hate so bad.
Yeah. I like Rob Zombie's Mike. He's my favorite visual representation of Mike.
But when that movie came out, it's just like, there's all these like weird 90s references, like Barry Sims was supposed to be Howard Stern. And like, I don't know. It's just like, to me, it's a perfect blend of Halloween and the 90s just married together.
Yeah. Like after kind of that post Scream world.
And people still debate exactly what the Thorn Cult was still to this day. And I think that that's super fucking dope.
Gore843 in the chat. And Jared Savage 666, they want to know how I skipped over Silver Shamrock. Don't worry, we're going back to season.
Oh, we'll go back to that.
We're jumping all around a little bit.
AXC knows that we fucking love our Season of the Witch,
and we got a Season of the Witch reference in the new trailer, which I was pretty excited about. That little nod, that
was super ill. And all the Halloween fans like, oh,
yeah, exactly. But going back to that cult idea and Scream in the 90s and all that, I just read this recently, but the original, I love the Scream franchise. First one's the best, Scream obviously. Too. I think it's a perfect movie. I like the second one a lot. I actually like the fourth one a lot. I think people slept on that.
Yeah, four is dope.
I slept on that
one. The third one I personally would love to just never see again and would like to pretend it didn't happen.
One and two, though.
So I was reading, and apparently the original script that wasn't used from Kevin Williamson and what Wes Craven wanted to do was the third one. They were going to reveal that Matthew Lillard survived the first movie, that he was in prison, and that a cult had developed around him of like fanboys who were writing him letters and whatever, and became like his little followers and were going out doing Ghostface copycat murders like in his name. And it's why didn't we get that movie?
That's
a way better movie.
That sounds like a great idea for a current Scream sequel, because that's exactly how it'd be. Like if Billy Loomis or whatever Matthew Lillard's character was called, I can't remember. But that scene where they're stabbing each other is probably the dopest shit, man, ever.
If you put Matthew Lillard in something, I'm going to fucking watch it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whether that's Wing Commander 2 or whatever, I don't care. Give me Matthew. Give me more Matthew.
That sounds like a dope idea.
Yeah.
It'd be better than having Aunt Jackie come and try to kill Sydney.
Oh, Aunt Jackie was a bummer. Stu. That was his name, Stu.
Stu. Sorry.
Yeah, he was dope. That'd be great if they brought him back in 5. The biggest problem with 3, and I guess this had to do with shooting schedules and how much people were available or whatever, but it takes that Trinity of Gale Weathers and Sidney Prescott and David Arquette, Dewey. And they're separated for like almost the whole movie. Like they've got Sidney off somewhere in like a cabin or whatever doing scenes by herself, or she's like on the phone. And, you know, and it's like they're all these like side quests going on and stuff. And it's like, dude,
yeah,
you can't
disjoint
them. Just put them. We just want to see them together doing fun stuff.
Yeah, we need an obligatory scene where we all think Dewey is dead and then he's not dead.
Exactly. And then he comes limping in to save the day.
Yeah, bloody as shit.
Dewey live or Dewey die?
Oh, that should be the subtitle for Scream 5. Scream 5, Dewey yeah. live or Dewey yeah. die.
Hit us up, Wes Craven, or no.
Yeah. I'm well, RIP to Wes. So. Yeah, rest in peace.
I'm waiting for that Twisted 2021 remix, We Do We Die.
Huh? Yeah. Featuring David Arquette.
I love David Arquette.
WCW heavyweight champion David Arquette.
Oh my God, that's right. Oh, shout out David Arquette. Shout out whole Arquette family. My homegirl Patricia Arquette from Dream Warriors.
Oh, she's so beautiful, man.
She's a huge fan of ours.
What was that? Haunted or Lost Highway? Woo! God damn, she's hot in that.
That was a big childhood celebrity crush for me when Dream Warriors
came
here,
man. Legit.
Yeah.
Still is.
Yeah, yeah. Rosanna Arquette, of course. Pulp Fiction. What a family. Shout out. Rest in peace, Alexis Arquette. I think passed away a few years ago.
Yeah.
So speaking of part threes, like Dream Warriors and Scream 3, taking us back, Season of the Witch, a movie that was extremely hated on, slept on, dismissed, ridiculed at the time, and has now taken on this renewed sort of elevated stature. Just like the three of you. We got our Shamrock masks right here in front of me. Tell me about each of your kind of relationship to Halloween 3 and
I've got to say
how it may have changed even over the years.
I hated it at first.
I loved it from the beginning, and I've got to tell you why. I probably oversold it a little bit when I was a kid, because if you go back and look at the montage after it seems like the bad guys are going to win and the Silver Shamrock giveaway is about to start and all the kids across the land are trick-or-treating with the mask on, it shows a montage of all these different gigantic United States cities, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, and then boom, out of nowhere, Dayton, Ohio. That's where I fucking grew up, man. Yeah. So instantly I was like, this is one of the best fucking horror movies ever made.
I wasn't a fan at first.
I didn't appreciate it at first.
I've always loved it. I'm glad you guys are admitting it.
I didn't either.
Then I figured out that John, initially he wanted to make every Halloween movie a different movie.
Yeah.
So I learned to appreciate it over the years, though.
Yeah, I've learned to appreciate it over the years, too, especially as an adult. And also just kind of how weird it is and the music and all that. But, like, as a kid, you know, I wanted Michael Myers in my Halloween movie. Yeah, and it was that
exactly.
simple.
Exactly.
Yeah. Think but about
that's
this.
All it was. Like, no, Michael, fuck that movie. Forget it.
But think it has about more of, like, a Monster Squad vibe to it, and I love that.
For scale, zoom out and look at this analyzed Season of the Witch real closely. Michael Myers would have killed 10 motherfuckers in Halloween 3, supposedly, if they would have made it. Dude, Cochran's like, I want to kill every child. It's like, holy shit, man. Yeah. You're fucking sick.
It's definitely morbid if you think.
Yeah, that. Man. So, true holy that. Shit. True shout that. Out to Silver Shamrock and shout out to Connell Cochran.
True that.
There's so many iconic things we got from that movie now.
So many things. And that's why it was so cool to see that in the trailer, too, like referenced, especially now that the love for it has come back.
It's a hell of an Easter egg. Right.
Before we go on into the Rob Zombie films, I just want to pop in the chat for a second and say Savage Panda UK Juggalo, shout out, two whoops to her. She says, says, don't say Joe's name in full in the mirror at midnight. Fuck that. Ha ha.
Otherwise, you'll get a boner.
Jared Savage 666, Halloween Kills is going to be great. Scotty MFV, a blasphemous miracle. Zombie strippers for the win. Savage Panda, my joint is up for AXE. Please tell AXE that the AXE poop knife group is in the house.
Yeah. What up, poop knife?
Well, we like PK, baby.
Super Sizzle, shout out. Poop knife group is in here a few times. Somebody asked how the interview was so far.
It's been fantastic. Thanks for asking.
What do you mean? I think that was somebody coming in late. Chat. We are watching. We are listening. We know what's up. Poop Knife Group is in the house. We see that in there over and over.
What have we done?
Shout out, shout out. There we go. Zool Boys for Eternity, says Jared Savage 666. Yeah, shout Zooligans out everybody in here watching. Eternity.
Shout out to every Zooligan watching, tuning in right now.
Love y'all.
Indeed, indeed.
Like we said, for the uninitiated, we're the AXE. We're chopping it up. Yep. We're talking about fucking Halloween.
You can go to longliveevil.com and figure all, you know, figure
it all. Fill yourself indeed. In.
The Real Sly Daddy is a new follower. TJ Pettibone, Keep Dreams Alive, and Rick Doom. Shout out to all of those new
viewers. Yeah. What up, y'all?
Shouts. And yes, and we will be linking in the chat all of the various places where you can find these homies from another dimension. Romeo Franco, brand new follower as of this very second. What up? Yeah, we'll have all the good linkage in there. So, the Rob Zombie Halloween films, the plural. Let's talk about it, as they say. Let's talk about the first one, obviously.
I love the first one a lot. It's probably my second favorite Halloween movie, period.
Wow.
Yeah. I know that's controversial, but I loved it. I thought Rob fucking killed it. He made it his own thing, which no one really done before. It's always just been the rehashed bullshit. Yeah,
everybody's just like, I must remake Carpenter's vision.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck that. I'm putting fucking grease and shit all over this.
But those feelings of admiration don't necessarily translate into the sequel for me.
Yeah. The first one, I love it, how cinematic it is, how dope it is. It really does put me in the Halloween spirit. Like, it, the opening shot with the Myers house while God of Thunder is playing is just so dope to me. I was just like, Halloween. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, I thought that was a dope shot. I think it's underrated how dope William Forsythe is as the abusive shit stepdad.
Yeah, dude. William Forsythe, shout out. He was Al Capone on the Untouchables TV series. Remember that?
He's unbelievable. Wasn't he a Dick Tracy villain too?
I think probably. So.
That would make sense.
I mean, he looks like one, though. He did look like one.
Shit. He's, but man, dope. He's a scary. Shit. He's just like a naturally scary individual. He's got that.
He's like Michael Madsen's fucking brother.
And one of the reasons I like Rob Zombie's Halloween is everybody that watches Halloween, we all root for Michael when we're watching this shit. Nobody's like, of course,
get him, Sheriff's Department of Haddonfield.
So we all root for Michael. Rob was like, I'm gonna give these people, these sick bucks, a reason to root for Michael. And you see why he's got this shitty deep-seated rage, because he's basically every downtrodden white kid from a trailer park ever.
Which is us.
Yeah, which is literally everything that summarizes us.
I've lived in 28 different trailer parks throughout my life.
And I lived with 27 of them with him.
That's right. We got kicked out of the pool.
That was a beautiful
pool. Yeah, it is some relatable content in that sense for us Midwestern kids. I will give it that. For sure. Yeah,
and on part two, there's good things about part two. It was convoluted. It's mainly the ending that everybody hated. But I loved the Halloween party. I loved that. I loved how like Lori got all dark, and of course Hobo you would after Michael, that shit. Bro. You know
Hobo
what I mean?
Michael was so fire. Yeah.
Eating dog guts. I loved it.
But and then they're just like,
yeah, let's shoot him in the face again, but this time with a sniper rifle.
It's just like, no. But I heard that there was all kinds of bullshit that went along with the filming of the end of that movie. I guess Zombie wasn't even present.
Yeah, he left the scene. Yeah, he was already gone.
When the ending was filmed.
Yeah, my understanding is that second one was a very troubled production.
I wanted more Captain Clegg.
Yes. Well, Special Features got your back on that.
Yeah, it's a good DVD. I like the stuff with Michael and his mom and all the imagery. I love the white horse.
It's death. That's what Michael is.
But it's just bad in its application. And and let's be honest here, turning Sam Loomis into some prima donna socialite was stupid.
I love that.
That's too far.
I mean, that's the only role Malcolm McDowell can play.
No, I mean, he's played as Loomis in the first one. He's caring and passionate and shit.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, I want to sell books about Michael now.
He was real mean to me when I met him.
I like that Malcolm McDowell impression. I've heard some funny stories about Malcolm McDowell. I have some friends who've worked
with him. He was cool. But he was
going to pinch you, Joseph, if I see you again.
He did swing on me.
Shout out to Malcolm McDowell for being mean to Joe, and shout out to Tom Savini for making me cry in a parking lot.
See, Tom Savini was uber nice to me. I caught him on a good day or something. Because I walked up and I was like, nice to fucking meet you. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, what the fuck are you apologizing? And I was like, okay, I like this guy. Gary Busey was also mean to me. But well, Jake Busey was nice to me. So
you kind of want Gary Busey to be mean to you. That's a better story.
Yeah.
That's
I want Gary Busey to put a cigarette out on me.
I'm pretty sure he put a cigarette out on his eyeball during the shit.
We talked about this in Screen Crusades last week, I think. But I actually, Greg Nicotero, speaking of, you know, the Tom Savinis and whatnot out of the world, I actually got to do a thing at KMB Studios years ago where Greg Nicotero and Howard Berger made me up as a zombie. And so I got the firsthand experience, and it was dope. Shit. And they were super cool. I don't think I've ever met Savini, he is one where you hear kind of those mixed stories of like either he's super nice or he's not so nice.
He's super real, that's for sure.
That's probably what it is.
If you ever want to come hang out with us, we'll turn you into a zombie.
Oh, I like that. But
he knows voodoos.
I was gonna say, I think you turn me into the kind where you stay a zombie.
Yes, it's a permanent thing. No temporary tattoos around here.
Dude, shout out, Wes Craven, Serpent in the Rainbow.
Oh man, talk about being underrated. That's one of my all time favorite movies, man. Same. I'm a visual guy, and that movie has the best special effects and visuals, man. I love it.
Everybody was talking about Independence Day the other day on July 4th. People were watching the movie, and I was like,
"To Bill Pullman."
I like to think that it's a shared universe where he came back from Haiti with the Zudu with the voodoo zombie power, and became president. I just like to think he's the same.
Absolutely,
and the fighter pilot,
or he was resurrected as his ghost form from Casper, and then became president, ran for president, won the presidency. You know, won the nomination, fought the alien menace.
No, first he hung out with Tom Cruise, learned how to fly a plane.
Yes.
Then he fought the alien menace.
And then Casper happened. What chronology? I don't know. We're getting too deep here.
It depends. We're talking about multiverse here. Yeah, we're talking about Rob Zombie's Halloween, which I personally
Daniel
think.
Harris, if you're watching this, please contact us right now.
We have a role. Like we have a role for you.
Yeah, shout out to her. Shout out to Tyler legend. Mayne, Wolverine's nemesis Sabretooth in the first X-Men movie.
Yep.
Wrestler. And I thought he was a great Michael Myers. He had the physicality and all that.
Agreed.
I agree that the look, the mask and everything was dope. I think there were a lot of cool scenes, a lot of good kills.
That was good to you, Mikey.
Yeah, I would not kill Danny Trejo.
Trejo. Danny Trejo as the caring, kind janitor. That was good to you, Mikey.
I don't dislike the movie. I know it's kind of a polarizing love or hate thing for a lot of fans. For me, there's a lot that I like about it. I think where it goes wrong, just me personally, my own personal taste, is all the childhood backstory that we get. Because I feel like part of what makes the shape so scary is the mystery and the mystique and like the. I appreciate him giving him a motivation and all that, but I kind of like how he doesn't have a motivation. You know, like
you don't know the full
origin. Seeing him as a kid in a Kiss T-shirt just kind of pulled me out of the movie because I'm just thinking, well, I mean, I love Kiss, but I'm just thinking, well, this is Rob Zombie's Halloween. Michael Myers is now.
I love
it. Hell, I can be Michael Myers. I got a Kiss T-shirt.
I'm glad he had the balls to do something different.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
It went so 100%. Far, like it showed this little kid, and then he got so disjointed where he just became this lumbering giant that didn't speak at all and was just so fucked up.
Well, that's where the evil set in.
That's what I'm saying. I like that as opposed to just being like, you know.
And the bully scene, man, one of my favorite scenes from any movie ever.
Death with that
and ball, I hate man. That kid. I fucking loved watching him die. So,
yeah, bully revenge fantasies are one of the great things about cinema.
Oh yeah,
Gore especially.
Yeah, most Tarantino movies are like historical revenge fantasies. Like kill the Manson family, Tarantino, kill Hitler. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, Cliff Booth Tarantino at the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and then the flamethrower. What's that?
I said we're one Tarantino saga away from having a Jesus revenge film.
Well, he says he's only making one more movie. Maybe that'll be.
Yeah, I was about to say, and it should be Kill Bill 3.
Indeed.
Yeah, I do think so.
I wish it would be. You know, there was those rumors that Tarantino's always dabbled into the horror world. Mm-hmm. Actually, Halloween 6, one of the original scripts for Halloween 6 was written by Quentin Tarantino.
I didn't know that.
Hold on. Yeah. Imagine a vampire movie with Rodriguez and Tarantino.
Yeah, that happened.
That's sarcasm, fellas.
Well, I was going to say, can we add strippers to that too?
Yes. Can we twist their titties?
Yes. Cheech Marin on top of it.
I think Rodriguez isn't talked enough as much as he talked about as much as he should be either. But I would love to
see Tarantino. Shout out Death Proof. Shout out what was his grindhouse
one? Sin City.
Well, Sin City, yeah, for sure. But
Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
No, his half of Grindhouse though. What was that called?
Oh, Planet Terror.
Planet Terror. That's right. That was cool. I like that.
I love Stuntman Mike too though.
Stuntman Mike. Stuntman Mike awesome. Is the shit.
Kurt Russell is a god.
Dude, I just watched Big Trouble in Little China for the millionth time a couple nights ago.
Yeah, I watch it about probably twice a year.
And you see what we did? We're not that off topic because Kurt Russell, that brought us back to John Carpenter. John
Carpenter.
And I'm excited and interested to see what Rob Zombie does with the monsters as a fan of
it's going
to
be good. Too.
Yeah, so are we.
I'll give anything Rob does a chance.
Indeed, same.
That's where I'm at.
And even if it is turns out to be exactly what we expect and it's Sherry Moon brutally killing off the monsters in the last 20 minutes of the movie, I'll still be happy with that. I just want to see her and be like, get over here, you stupid bitch.
Yeah. I'm not doing nothing, Herman.
I'm pretty sure he's going to leave the white trash violence out of this one.
Yeah, I would love to see a Married with Children a Married with Children type slant to the monsters. That could be fun.
Yeah.
So let's get right up into the present tense with Danny McBride.
Who love him.
Before we even talk about his Halloween movies, I just want to say, shout out Eastbound and Down. Shout
this
out
is the end,
Vice
though.
Principals. This is the
this
end.
This is the end. It's my favorite horror comedy ever.
I have
easily.
I have watched This is the End so many times. I remember seeing that movie in the theater with my buddy Greg. He had seen it once before and he was like, you gotta come see this. And we went,
oh, I love it, man.
Just laughing so hard through that whole movie. And Danny McBride, especially when he showed everything he does in that movie. He's like
dropping loads like a dump truck.
Shalom.
Come on what I want to come on.
Awesome. I
love that shit. But the Exorcist scene, man. Oh my goodness. Woo! One of the best spoofs ever.
Oh, so good. And Danny McBride when he shows up at the end with Channing Tatum.
Channing Tate Yum.
Yeah.
Slides right in that shit.
He's great. Did you guys see they only did one season of it so far, but the show with John Goodman, The Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, that is honestly, I've been trying to get these guys to watch it. Man, I fucking was enamored with that shit. I instantly binge watched the whole first season. And I am actively waiting for the second season.
It's so good.
The funniest shit to me that's out right now currently.
Well, John is a good man, and I will watch his movies.
Indeed. And you know what gets slept on, speaking of the Halloween creative team, is Your Highness. Did you guys see that?
Fuck, I remember that. I don't think I ever watched it.
Yeah, though. I've seen it.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, I liked it. It was pretty funny.
D&D movie, right?
Yeah. Now you're thinking of the Badassdom. Knights of Badassdom.
Yeah, okay. But I know it's kind of like
this is more of like
yeah, it is like a sword and sorcery fantasy, but it's a comedy. Yeah. And it's James Franco, Danny McBride, Natalie Portman. But it's David Gordon Green and McBride. And it was literally based on they were just coming up with weed puns as movie titles. As like a game, and when they got to Your Highness, they were like, wait, that could be something, and they made this whole stupid movie out of it.
I'm so thankful for those dudes that they're friends and they hang out and they do shit in Hollywood, because I love that whole camp of people, man.
Same. So I was excited when I knew they were doing Halloween. I thought it was interesting that they took this premise of like, we're gonna wipe away every sequel and the soft reboot or whatever you call it, when it's just like we're backing it up to only the first one happen.
I'm fine with that.
It was necessary.
I'm fine with them not even mentioning it. But to me, the dynamic of the brother and sister still has to be a constant.
I agree.
Trouncing something that didn't need to be.
That was something I think that they got rid of that they didn't need to get rid of. I totally agree.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they actually flip-flop on that decision.
Yeah, they're probably going to reveal it in part two.
That'd be great. That would be great. That'd be a nice hat trick on everybody. I would back that for sure. Both for its storytelling savviness and for its trolling of all of us.
Yeah. And you know Danny McBride's aware of these things, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But I was personally shocked at how much I love this movie. Like when I first saw it, it's actually getting better with more views.
It's my favorite. Agreed. Michael Myers. Old Man Mike is my favorite now.
The sprinkling of the teeth, man.
The bathroom shit?
Yeah, that one. That was in that first trailer. That was, yeah, in that first trailer. And in fact, it's so iconic that when we were talking about Rob Zombie's movies, up until right this second, I misremembered that as one of Rob's.
No, his bathroom scene was the Joe Grizzly.
Yeah.
Joe Grizzly, bitch. Yeah.
Ken Foree's in it. So
yeah, it's iconic in its own right. There's always an iconic Halloween bathroom scene. If not, it's going to be an asshole movie.
H2O actually had a really good bathroom scene with the mom and the kid, too. You think
H2O's got some good parts. You know, we were talking about Channing Tate Young. We can't forget about Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, he is hot.
That was his dude. He was a big star there for a minute. He was supposed to be Superman.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff coming up. The
studio was like, we're going to attach Creed to this soundtrack at any cost.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was half the budget of the movie. I like the school setting and shit, though. But I mean, other than that, that movie was ass.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, yeah, it's kind of like those bad records that still have some good songs. That's how the bad Halloween movies are. Like,
yep.
I hated the Michael lowering himself down from the pipe. It's just like, that's way too skinny to be Michael, man.
That was kind of a ripoff from Black Christmas, too, if I remember correctly. That's the one where the dude's green, right? Like a liver disease. So I remember him like, lowering itself down.
No, you don't see the killer from
Yellow. Yeah,
you don't see the killer from Black Christmas.
It's a Christmas movie, though. What? Which one was it?
Yo, fuck all that. When are we going to get Michael Myers in space? Boo.
Never.
I mean, that's ultimately where we got to go, right? Jason X, Leprechaun, Hellraiser. Yeah. We still need to do Freddy in space.
I'm still holding out the dream that we get an Ash versus Freddy versus Jason.
That's exactly where I was going. Yeah.
There's a comic of that.
They did do that in comic book form.
That's why I feel like there's some sort of tangible way that
weren't they gonna like tie in the Necronomicon from the end of Hell goes to Hell?
Whoops.
We have a record called that. Sorry.
Yeah. I remember being in the theater because Jason Goes to Hell is not a good movie. But I remember that scene where the glove comes up out of the ground sitting. I was in the Dollar Theater by myself. And that was like, you know, it wasn't like the internet days where you knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Right.
That was dope.
Oh, when the doctor eats Jason's heart, I was like, holy shit. Yeah.
Well, again, some good songs on that album. Jason Goes to Hell.
Yes, exactly.
You can find good parts out of it.
Yes. My favorite is track 9, The Worms That Live in Jason's Body.
I'm pretty sure that there's a Necronomicon in that movie too, in the basement.
There is, that's what we're talking about.
There's fan theories that he's a deadite or whatever, and
he kind of is, man. If you think about it, he's just a fucking super zombie.
Yeah,
he's a super zombie. I like him. I like the new one with the tunnels though, because it's like you figured that out. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for another 35 years when we get a new Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah, that was what 2009. That's already been 10 years. 12 years.
They wanted to do like a wintertime Jason Voorhees movie.
That would be awesome.
That would be fucking cool.
There's Christmas some really good fanfic Jason movies out there. So.
Oh, there's some really, really good ones. Yeah. Him versus Mike. Oh, yeah.
So since we're talking Jason, and this is going to harken back to something that you guys brought up earlier, I went to go see a taping of the podcast, How Did This Get Made, a couple years ago, and they were doing... Yeah. Jason X was the episode, and one of those guys pointed out something I've thought about all these franchises ever since, and something that was said about Michael Myers earlier. At a certain point in these movies, the killers turn from being the antagonist to the protagonist, where we go to these films now rooting for Michael Myers, rooting for Jason Voorhees, rooting for Freddy Krueger. Like, we're there to see like what they're up to and how they dispense and dispose of hapless teenagers. And that's interesting because there aren't many genres other than not just horror, but slasher horror in particular. Because, you know, when you're watching The Conjuring, I'm not rooting for the demon, you know, but.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like that.
But in the slasher films, yeah, you are kind of there. Like they're the star. And it's weird because none of them started that way. You know, like if you go back to part one of each of those, like you can say who your main characters were. And then you get into you get a couple sequels deep, and it's just like, oh, Michael Myers is the star of this movie.
I think that might have a lot to do with like the marketing and the merchandising over the years.
That's 100% correct.
You can get a Freddy Krueger fucking plushie at the carnival now, shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
That's true. Plus, I think a lot of horror like post 1990 just like they set up the cast and they write the film for the characters to be mutilated.
Yeah, they're killing cliches like, that no one like, likes.
Like the Mary Sue always has like this materialistic bitchy friend, and you're like, yeah, mm-hmm. she's fucking dead as shit. You right, know what I'm saying?
Yeah. yeah.
Like
yeah.
it just seems like they started it becoming slaughterhouses for the characters as opposed to making you care for the characters
yes.
and then taking them away. You were just like, oh, I can't wait till the bitchy counselor dies.
They're usually killing off people that would bully the people in real life that watch the right. movies. You know exactly. what I mean? Like,
yeah, the cheerleader, the football jock, yeah, they're like yeah. the exactly. tropes in the '80s, especially.
Yeah, and that yeah, promiscuous chick that never let you hit
when
it.
When Michael or Jason or Freddie kill the preppy Chad archetype character yeah. that's in yeah. the movie. You know what I'm saying? The prom king guy, so to speak.
Yeah, we can't do that in real life.
Or so we let Michael and Jason don't admit it on anyway. Podcasts.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, yeah. a wish fulfillment.
Yes.
Yeah, and what's cool about the Scream franchise and how it reinvented things is that it subverted all those tropes because it gave yeah. us characters that we liked again, yeah. including like horror died, fan characters. You know,
it is
ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Randy dies, it's the worst moment in horror history.
Oh, such You're a bummer.
Like, no, it's like Mufasa dying.
Yeah, it is.
Cool. I was just like suburban life, and you're just like, no.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Randy. I like how they knew that they needed him for part three, so they came up with what was it, the videotape?
That was yeah. ingenious.
Yeah, we have a video message.
Yeah. But I just want to come out and publicly admit that I'm part of that Billy Loomis cult.
Ooh.
My new religion.
Never told me that.
Yeah.
We weren't I'm just aware coming out and saying it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us that live.
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, hypothetically, if you could get me like a membership application just to look at for study purposes.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
Give
yeah.
us your address.
I'll fax it to you.
Yes. Hit me on the hip. I have my pager turned on.
We have a copy room here.
Hit me on the hip.
Hey, like how Midwest 90s was that?
Super.
Hell yeah.
Super.
Especially if you were into rap or you knew rappers, you heard that. All right, man, I'll see you. Peace. Hit me on the hip.
I wanted to be cool so fucking bad and have a beeper.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take a look at the chat here real quick before we land the plane. Preach Hate says praise.
In there.
We got some praise Zool from Preach Hate.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Gore843 says Savini was cool to me too. That's good to hear.
I'm the only one, I guess.
Juggalo Crazies dropping some sweet Juggalo emojis. Two whoops to the Juggalo Crazies.
Jug emojis.
Marissa says, I want to come hang out and become a zombie. We got your axe.
We'll make you a zombie with an X instead of a Z. For Ooh. Thematic purposes.
We got your YouTube channel linked in here. JWheels49 says Bill Moseley did a great job on the flashback scenes.
Agreed. Bill Moseley is a national treasure and should be respected in every facet of
Bill
life.
Bill Moseley is a great job.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm told that I should say, come sit with me.
Joe, you're going to write this one.
Come sit with me.
The Zooligans are trying to trick you because let me be honest with you. When they say come sit with me, that's a direct invitation for Joe Black to
take my shirt off.
Pretty much nude.
Yes.
And be comfortable with you. So
I like it.
So
I'm all right with it. If it wasn't for
that. All right. He's cool.
I'm a bit slimy.
I can tell you're one of us.
But I'm nice.
I can tell.
I am.
Didn't know it until today. But now he's like, I can feel the Zooligan coursing through my veins right now.
For sure, and I got Blaze coming on next week. The Screen Crusade.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's the dead
Shout
homie.
Blaze, you fucking dead homie.
Big fan. I had Monoxide on. I had when the Multiple Man was on, we talked about the Conjuring franchise. And when I asked Monoxide what he wanted to talk about when he was on, he wanted to talk about The Office, which was fine by me because I've watched The Office like six times.
I've never seen it.
But it's funny because it's been it's usually horror because that tends to be what we do.
Yeah.
Right. That's what you do.
But we do not discriminate. Yes, Boneheaded Zooligan 83 says you need Zooligans in your life. I think they're here. We got them.
He's absolutely right.
We have arrived.
Maza, nice. Our moderator, says Power Rangers in space is greatest of all time, so that would make sense. We're talking about space. All my alley dwellers, throw your horns up.
Oh, yeah. Zooligan's in full effect. We see you, Zool babies. We smell your waft.
You little stinkers.
You little piggly wigglies. Follow us here, and that's why we're here throwing our horns up for you to entertain you. We'll see you tonight.
Yo, when are we
feel free to stop by. We got a stream going on tonight.
When are we going to get Machete in space, though?
Dude, when are we going to get Power Rangers versus Michael fucking Myers?
They promised us Machete in space. We didn't get it.
You should watch Psycho Gorman.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like that.
Been trying.
Oh, who's that? Mark Monteiro, new follower. Infamous El Jefe, new follower. Thank you to you both.
El Jefe! Yeah.
El Jefe, preach hate. New follower. Thank you.
That's a Zooligan, baby.
Spyro Steeltoe wants to know, have you seen Imprint?
Which one?
Yeah, Takashi.
Takashi Miike? Fuck yeah, man. One of the best episodes of season one.
Baby, though.
What about the head?
Yeah.
I love Masters of
Horror. What's that dude's name that's in that movie? The older man. He's so familiar, but I can never remember his fucking name.
The Masters of Horror is on sale right now. Both seasons on Vudu. I highly recommend it. $10.
I'm trying to get that box set.
I got them both. I got the skull and the mausoleum.
Preach Hate wants me to mention the Forever Face Alley page on Facebook. All day.
Shout out to Forever Face Alley, a hive of scum and villainy, and home to every Zooligan on the internet. If you're not there, you're not really evil enough.
Indeed. Zooligan Raider with the horns up. Ooh, look at this. Marco Monteiro is high from Singapore. We've got Singapore in the chat. We've got the United Kingdom in the chat.
Singapore.
I know horns
up from the bowels of hell straight to Singapore. AXC in the building. Evacuate men, women, and children. Graves get filled in. We're talking about cinema.
I love it. Michigan's in the house, of course.
Absolutely.
Hey,
I'm smitten by the murder mitten.
It is one of my favorite places. Not my favorite, but one of my favorites.
I have spent a fair amount of time there, being our neighbor to the north growing up in Indiana. So, gentlemen, let's wrap things up here because I don't want to. I know I can't keep you forever. You've got another dimension to get back to in your own stream.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to get some Halloween Kills predictions. In fact, let's get some predictions, hopes, dreams, aspirations,
I hope
fears. Lord
fucking dies. Yeah, I'm so tired of her. Yeah.
So yeah,
I'm very tired of Lori. She's got to fucking go.
I know one thing we've been wondering is Michael's hand still going to be fucked up?
It has to be.
Ooh. It has to be, right?
Yeah.
And here's what I want the most out of Halloween Kills as a fan of the series for a long time. You hear in the trailer, there's a murmur. Joe, we talked about this yesterday. She says, the more he kills, the more he transcends. Let's see that idea visited more. That's one way you could truly take Michael to the next level. Is
give him some legitimate
maybe
power.
He evolves, maybe he there's like a metamorphosis, so to speak, and we see Michael evolve into like the Wraith stalkerish scepter, you know, or specter rather.
I think the
you know, floating around or something. I don't know, man. I just want to see it change up a little bit.
I think the crazy doctor in the first one and then her saying this, I think that kind of solidifies it for me that it's going to be more supernatural.
I feel like if they introduce a little supernatural sprinkle onto everything, it'll tie it up real nice.
I agree.
And the Silver Shamrock masks are now canon.
Yes. Yes.
So it doesn't matter how the movie is to me. I'm taking that away as a win for us all. Zooligan and mankind.
Amen.
I just hope that he keeps the bone saw that he takes from the fireman.
Just has it in his inventory.
Yeah. Just put that in stock.
No. I love that idea of the supernatural side getting elevated and taking
it's
that.
It's the only way to make more sequels. Yeah. Like, for real.
And that takes us into, you know, that could be the conclusion of the proposed trilogy, would be, you know, a new sort of supernatural, superhuman, even more so, amped up steroids, spiritual psychic steroids.
We already got the thorn caught, like little shits, so then you got to tie it all together. It shouldn't be
also,
too hard.
I think one of the most interesting things about the trailer is how it looks like Haddonfield starting to rally around and be like, no, we're going to fucking kill
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I
Michael.
Love that. It was nah, yeah, that is cool.
Like, how's he going to escape that shit?
Yeah.
He's going to butcher all of them, just like he did the firemen.
The trilogy ends with Michael just on a pile of hamburger meat, the smoldering fucking Haddonfield.
Haddonfield hamburger.
Yeah. Like, what do I do now? They're all dead.
I did.
Trying to go to Springwood.
I do like that idea that they did take Laurie Strode and made her into this like Sarah Connor, you know, that she's just been sitting around training and getting ready to.
It kind of bugged me at first. I like that idea. But the more you think about it, the more it makes sense. It's the only way she could combat him, you know?
Yeah, I'd rather her be some femme fatale than some like invalid in a mental hospital. Yeah,
right.
Don't kill me, Michael. No, but I do like that her plan ultimately backfired and we get to see a fucking montage of Jason killing firemen.
Yo, that's I said Jason Michael.
Yeah, I didn't know I wanted that so much until I saw it in the trailer. And I'm like,
the ending of the first one kind of threw me off. I'm like, I don't know, but the way they brought it in with the firemen and the fire and shit now.
Danny McBride is not playing any fucking games.
No.
It's so surreal that Danny McBride.
And it makes me wonder, like, when we get to Halloween, I think they've already mentioned the title, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends, I think.
I think it's Halloween Ends. Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine, like, the fucking, like, visceralness of the movie is probably going to be amped up just so much because this one looks like it really is just a turn, like, they turn everything up from the original. So.
Yep, that's what a sequel should be.
The trilogy is going to end with Michael standing on a cliff. The camera will be behind him. Haddonfield will just be burning. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
That's
it.
Yeah.
We ain't explaining shit. Everybody's dead.
I see in the chat where we're to go. By the way, we got Western PA is in here. We got the Carolinas in here. Speaking of the Carolinas, I think Danny McBride lives in North Carolina or South Carolina.
That would make a lot of sense.
He picked up and moved. Yeah. And, I heard this interview with him where he told this amazing story about Kanye West called him up and was like, I want you to make a movie about my life and I want you to star in it as me.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and of course, Danny McBride's like, I'll take this meeting. He's like, I'm coming to you. Where are you at? He's like, well, I'm not in LA anymore. I'm in North Carolina or South Carolina, wherever it is. And he said, Kanye flew out there and he took Kanye out on his boat. And he was wearing, and it was super hot and humid. And Kanye was wearing a big, huge parka that he wouldn't take off. And they hung out for a day and talked about doing his biopic with starring Danny McBride as Kanye West. And then Kanye left and he never heard from him again.
Hell yeah.
Typical day with Kanye.
Yeah, typical day with Kanye. And a typical man, Danny McBride seems like he'd be a good hang. I've interviewed him before and he was super cool. But yeah, he can, you know, we need
I
to go out
get
there.
High with him.
Yeah, he That's can take us sure. all out on his boat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Take me out on your boat anytime, Danny.
Okay. The yeah. Gore 843 is saying they filmed Loggins. the new Halloween movies there. Yeah. I think they did Righteous Gemstones there too. I believe actually the story was he went there for Vice Principals and then he just stayed there because he liked it, moved his family there and whatnot.
Get in where you fit in.
Indeed.
That's not spandex for us anymore.
Indeed. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. I know it takes some dark magic and some effort to conjure yourselves interdimensionally to be able to join us here on the Knotfest Twitch, and I do appreciate
it's all for you, Ryan. We appreciate you having us, and we know.
Yo, shout out Richard Donner, director of The Omen. Rest in peace. Just passed away. It's all for you.
Gregory Peck, too.
He directed Superman as well.
Yes, yep. He did.
Indeed, the Goonies.
The only watchable one.
Yep. Yeah.
Goonies, man. He did direct Goonies.
Lethal Weapon.
Damn.
Rest in peace. We lost a fucking good one.
We did. Hey, if you guys haven't seen it, because, yeah, Superman is the only good one. But if you've never seen Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut, which came out like 30 years later, Warner Brothers let him go in and fit. Because, you know, he was originally filming Superman 1 and 2 back to back and had a falling out with the producers. And bailed before 2 was finished. They brought in this other director, Richard Lester, who finished 2, who added in a lot of the goofy comedy parts and all that sort of stuff. And maybe 10, 15 years ago, Warner Brothers let him, kind of a precursor to the Zack Snyder cut, they let Richard Donner get back in the vaults and finish his vision for Superman 2. It's really good. The only weird thing about it is when Superman spins the Earth backwards and reverses time to save Lois Lane, that was supposed to be the ending for 2. And after Donner was gone, they took the ending from 2 and made it the ending from 1. Wow. So the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2 ends the exact same way as Superman 1 ended. And that's weird. But otherwise, it's definitely cool. It makes it a much, much better movie. A lot cooler.
I want to go on record and say, fuck Superman. Batman for life.
Oh, I mean, obviously.
Let me say what
Big Blue Boy Scout versus the Dark Knight. I mean, there's no contest. Indeed, indeed, indeed.
Absolutely, but that's another one.
Spawn over both. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, Spawn. Dude, Spawn, there's supposed to be a new Spawn coming out, right?
Yeah, they're about ready to wrap it, I'm pretty sure. I think
we talk about it weekly for the past 6 years now.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, Todd might be holding that up.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Well, gentlemen, thank you again for coming on here. Massively appreciate it. We've got in the links, we're dropping in there everywhere that people can go to check you out.
We lit up a pumpkin.
Yeah. We lit up a pumpkin for this. You know what I'm saying?
That's a real pumpkin in the back.
That's a real fire.
It is very, very cool. Let me ask you this. When is the next time people will be able to see you in real life?
The next time you'll be able to huff the a la Zoilu and really catch a waft of what we're working with to really get a good glimpse at our undercarriage. It's going to be August 20th to the 22nd, yeah. I believe.
Astronomicon
4 in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
The a la Zoilu is putting the ass in Astronomicon.
Very nice. And that's going to include, if I'm not mistaken, the Attack of the Ninjas on the 21st. Yeah,
absolutely.
The Blind Pig.
And at the Blind
Dirty Little Pig.
At the Blind Pig, one of the nights there, you'll be able to come and see AXE. We're going to have our first full-fledged performance since quarantine, since last fucking Astronomicon.
Amazing.
And it's going to be debauchery and a bunch of devil shit.
And that's going to be you guys, plus the Eastside Ninja Supergroup, which is, of course, Monoxide, Jamie Madrox, Blaze Your Dead Homie, and Anybody Killer. They will be there performing. And Boondocks, Lex the Hexmaster, the Horror, who was on Screen Crusades recently. The ROC, just a whole bunch at the MNE Presents.
And don't forget the Super Famous Fun Time guys. They'll be there too.
Super Famous Fun Time guys. I'm not familiar with Super Famous Fun Time guys. I'll have to check
that out. Allow us to get you hip. We'll do that after the show, though. We'll send you a couple links.
Please, please, please. I appreciate it. Well, I will let you guys conjure yourselves back to another dimension.
Yes, everybody watching on Twitch right now, we're going to be streaming on Twitch in about 2 hours, so go check that out. A la Zoilu.
You're more than welcome to join us.
Yeah, come on through. Come on in, have a shit.
Looking at you, man.
Ah, it's all for you. It's all for you.
We must fly off into the night now.
What's the Twitch channel name? The chat wants to know. Where do they find you on Twitch?
Twitch channel name.
A la Zoilu. Simple enough, right?
Simple easy. And plain.
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, all that shit, / a la Zoilu.
Murder wanted posters.
I love
it. I think our name shows up, right? You spell it like that.
There it is.
A-L-L-A-X-U-L-E-L-U.
Don't say the last one, you'll
Bonehead Zogan 83 has got us. And there we go. There we go. Our moderator has jumped in.
Thank you, Twitch link for you guys. We throw our horns to you and every Zooligan in the chat. Thanks for joining us. We are the Ella Zoo.
Get the wagons. We got to go.